A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 24 through 30. Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove Jesus out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am struck by the familiar feeling of today's Gospel as I reflect on the disturbing tenor of the public discourse in our contemporary political world. Which one of us cannot recall a situation of recent days in which two opposing views collided and the parties involved, rather than address the substance of the issue, resorted to personal attacks and character assassination? If the truth be told, I can recall at least an occasion or two in my own life when my first response was to mentally discredit the speaker rather than face the content of their message. The folks in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth are so angered by his message that they literally want to kill him. Why did they react so fiercely? What is it that causes any one of us to be so defended when we are confronted with new information, an idea, an opinion, or a belief that differs from our own? Clearly, not all expressions of difference elicit the same depth of response. If I say that chocolate is the best flavor of ice cream in the world, and you express your preference that black cherry far surpasses chocolate, it's not likely to raise my blood pressure. If, however, your ideas about God differ from mine, and your ideas suggest that I may need to rethink my own beliefs, that's another story. And Jesus was not talking about ice cream or anything so trivial. Jesus' teaching touched a deeply held and defining belief of those gathered in the synagogue that Sabbath day. He had the knack of quickly getting to the core of a matter. Light piercing the darkness was not always welcome. And Jesus understood that the more challenging the truth, the fiercer the response would be, ignited by the tribe's instinct for self-preservation. Jesus' assurance, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it," did not necessarily ease the fears of his listeners. Depending on one's situation in life, this may or may not be perceived as good news. Inevitably, the world of my present understanding is going to change, and I just might prefer to hold on to what I already know. Jesus revealed a God that many of his listeners could never have imagined. The ways of God, the law of love that Jesus knew, surpassed all the legal limitations, conditions, and restrictions of small-minded religious observance. The God of Israel will feed the widow of Sidon. The God of Israel will heal the leper of Syria. For you see, said Jesus, love, the God of Israel, has no bounds when it meets an open and receptive heart. Truth had done its work. Collective inner thoughts were laid bare. How dare this hometown upstart question our favored status in the eyes of God? How dare he judge the behavior of our ancestors? How dare he challenge us here in our own synagogue? The people, filled with fury, had no room for understanding. In her recent book, 40 Stories to Stir the Soul, Joan Chittister tells this story. A seeker went to visit a holy one, hoping for enlightenment. The holy one invited the seeker into her cell and offered her a drink. Yes, a drink would be fine, said the seeker. The Holy One poured until the seeker's glass was full and then kept pouring. It is overflowing, the seeker said. No more will go into it. Like the glass, the Holy One said, you are full of your own truths, ideas, and opinions. You cannot be enlightened until you first empty your glass. Lent is a time for us to empty ourselves of the small-minded opinions, ideas, beliefs, and ideologies that prevent the life-giving truth and light of God from taking hold of us. We Christians may not be inclined to throw Jesus off of a cliff, but we may do as much by ignoring, not taking to heart, or assuming we already live the fullness of Jesus' teaching. Surely Jesus will say something these days that will unsettle us, disturb us, and challenge us. We may not be filled with fury, but might we be filled with complacency born of familiarity? I invite each of us to take time during these Lenten days to reflect on this question. What truths, ideas, and opinions of my own must I be emptied of in order to receive the light of Christ in its fullness?